got a gal who's always late anytime we have a date, but I love her. Yes, I love her. I'm gonna walk right up to her gate and see if I can get it straight, 'cause I want her. I'm gonna ask her, is you is or is you ain't my baby? Way you acting lately makes me doubt. You's is still my baby, baby. Seems my flame in your heart's done gone out. A woman is a creature that has always been strange. Just when you're sure of one, you'll find she's gone and made a change. Is you is or is you ain't my baby? Maybe baby's found somebody new. Or is my baby still my baby true? Baby, maybe baby's found somebody new. Or is my baby still my baby true?
Do you know what it means? Do you miss New Orleans? And miss it each night and day? I know I'm not wrong. The feeling's getting strong.
We do a roll call, Janet.
Yes, Chair. Chair Goodman?
Present.
Commissioner Aguilar is absent. Commissioner Callanan?
Present.
Commissioner Drake is absent. Commissioner Caldy?
Present.
Thank you.
Thank you. And then at this point, we want to ask if there are any comments from the public for items not on the agenda.
If there are many members of the public wishing to comment, please use the raise your hand icon and I will call on you. Chair, I see no comments.
Alrighty, at this point, I believe we have any amendments or adjustments to the agenda.
Yes, Chair. There is a slight amendment to the attachment in C2 for the non-Black Gold Cooperative System material delivery and return policy and procedure.
Duly noted.
And we'll be able to cover that during the discussion action portion, but we did want to make that available to the public.
Great, thank you. So then we'll move on to item A1, the consent calendar, the approval of the minutes from our October 2nd, 2023 meeting. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
Motion to approve here.
Thank you. And do I have a second?
Second.
Do a vote.
Chair Goodman?
Approved. Aye.
Commissioner Callanan?
Aye.
Commissioner Caldy?
Aye.
All right. We will move on to item B1, a report from our new library director.
Thank you and good afternoon, Chair and Commissioners. It's an honor to be here at my first Library Advisory Commission meeting. This portion of the presentation will cover a variety of updates with regards to library activity from the period starting in July 2023 through February 2024. So the first item I wanted to share updates on was with regards to programming at the library. Programming is a great opportunity for the library to connect directly with our community. We invite the community into the library, and it's a wonderful way to introduce them not only to programs, but to all of the different offerings that the library has for patrons of every age. And so some of the recent activity with regards to programming is that our previous interim library director, Ms. Diane Satchwell, conducted an assessment during her time at the library, working closely with myself and our children's librarian to assess our programming model as a whole. And one of her recommendations that we were able to implement was to begin utilizing a structure of monthly themes to provide some a framework where we shape our programming in accordance with different themes. So that list is included in the packet today. Just one example I wanted to highlight was with April, you know, starting today for National Poetry Month. This is a great example of this new change. We have a variety of displays throughout the facility, as well as a programming event that'll take place at the library that focuses on poetry readings at the end of the month. So we're excited to implement that new structure. In addition to revisiting some of the models in which we've been structuring our programming, we're also excited to continue offering some of our community favorite programming. So that includes most recently our winter reading program, which begins in January and just concluded at the end of February. That's a passive program that encourages literacy throughout the community. It's open to all ages. And so some of the numbers we included just illustrate, you know, just how much of an enjoyed program this is in the community. We saw patrons of all ages read over 1,500 books over the course of the 7-week program. So we love to see the community response to our programming, and we're excited to continue some of those classics as we continue to just revisit our structure and find new innovative ways to continue programming. In that same vein, preparations are underway with our children's librarian, Ms. Kaylee Christensen, as she plans for her first summer reading program, which is one of our most treasured programs that we offer at the library, and that'll be launching in June, shortly after the school's release for summer in the local area. So please stay tuned for additional updates with regards to programming as we continue to explore that new structure based on themes. Some other updates that I wanted to share in our director's report are with regards to staffing. So I understand you had the pleasure of working with Ms. Diane Satchwell while she was our interim library director. And she was appointed in July of 2023, and she focused on a series of special projects during her time as interim library director. But she was incredibly successful in each of those areas. And so we are excited that she's still with the city of Goleta. She's still in the library division. Her role has changed to executive extra help retired annuitant, but she's continuing to provide assessment and recommendations and focusing on areas such as the continued strategic planning that I believe she introduced at a prior commission meeting here, as well as involvement with the Building Forward grant for our facility upgrades and refresh, which we're very excited about as well. So we're grateful to Ms. Satchwell for her incredible insight and contributions, and we're looking forward to continuing to work with her in the library division. Ms. Satchwell did host an all-staff training day on Thursday, February 22nd, where we went over some of those areas that she had been focusing on with regards to refreshed policies and procedures, and just to further that strategic planning process with input from library staff. That training day also included a presentation with Chuck Flax. Mr. Flax is the homelessness services coordinator in the Neighborhood Services Department. He shared guidance and resources just to help provide information to staff so that we're as well informed and best prepared to really meet the needs of every member of our community at the library. This training was also an opportunity to facilitate a transition where I was be able to transition into my new role as city librarian. And so I'm looking forward to beginning my new role and working closely with staff at all of our branches for the next phase of our library story. And another update with regards to staffing is that we're currently on track to hopefully have the library fully staffed by the end of April. So we've recently had some internal promotions, which we're very excited about, and have brought two new team members on board in the roles of library assistant and library page. And we have ongoing recruitments that are in process right now for our new supervising librarian, as well as an open page position as well. So we're excited to see our team, hopefully to be fully staffed in the next few weeks. The next item I wanted to touch on for the report was just an overview of some of our daily business at the library. And so this portion of the report, we've included some data that I find very exciting. And to capture that data, we implemented a new statistical report. It's a new Excel spreadsheet that was made available by the data analyst at the California State Library. This helps us to track all of our statistics with regards to program attendance, all of our room reservations in the community room. It allows us to track our hours in one spreadsheet. So it combines maybe 3 or 4 different spreadsheets we were using previously, and even includes, replaces some paper forms we were using for our data. So having a single place to record our data just makes it so accessible, and we were able to pull some exciting numbers, both from the state report and from this new spreadsheet. To summarize, it really indicates that we're on the course to return to pre-pandemic visits and circulation, which is something we've been working towards for the past few years. We're very excited. You know, the reopening process was a rebuilding for a lot of libraries in terms of returning to in-person programming, in-person visits, and to see the usage of the collection return to, I think, within 1.3% of those numbers is very exciting. It means that our community has returned and we're meeting them sort of where they are, and we're excited to provide the resources that they're looking for. Two other elements I wanted to touch on briefly is that we are in the process of continuing the review of policies and procedures that Ms. Satchwell began during her time as interim library director. Some of these are included in our meeting this evening, and then there is some great foundation for further refreshes and revisits to be done to some of our other policies in the future. The last portion I wanted to mention were a few updates with regards to grants at the library. So we have a very popular program, which you may be familiar with. It's called the Zip Book Program. That is provided through the California State Library. We've been awarded the past 5 years. This has been the largest amount that we have been awarded, over $17,000. It basically, to summarize briefly, makes it possible for us to purchase materials through grant funds that aren't owned in the library collection at Goleta, and have them sent directly to patrons' homes free of charge. So in this way, we're able to increase access to information. And then also, because we review every zip book item that's returned to the library for inclusion in the collection, we're able to expand and enrich our collection as well. So we're very excited. This is on track to have our funds expended for the benefit of our patrons by the close of the grant period, possibly sooner. So we're excited to see this, again, just really meeting the needs of our community. Our last update with regards to grant is the Building Forward grant. This is currently in progress. The city is in the process of selecting a contractor for the architectural and engineering services with the aim to have, with council possibly considering awarding the contract this spring. The completion date is anticipated mid-2027, and information about how any of those phases of the project might impact operations or services will be shared as soon as that information is available. And that concludes my portion of the report.
And I was just going to add a couple of things that Ms. Salcedo was talking about earlier. One, we're obviously very excited to have her, and this is her first meeting here with the commission. But I did want to add that two things. The California State Library statistical workbook is actually a twofold tool for the library. Not only is it useful and helpful for better reporting to the commission and the community, but also follows the kind of the methodology that the California State Library wants to see when it gets its annual report. So it helps in two fashions, and so we're excited that they were more than happy and willing to share that with us. And then lastly, on the Building Forward grant, as Ms. Salcedo stated, I think that the contract is either going tomorrow to City Council or in 2 weeks, but I think it's actually tomorrow. So it's moved at light speed in terms of getting it off the ground and moving. The biggest issue is obviously the time frame. Mid-2027 doesn't sound like it's that far away, but when you got to design something, you know, go through multiple iterations, really find out what the needs are, and then actually do all the drawings, do all the specifications, then put it out to bid, and then actually do the work, it can take quite a while. So we're really thrilled that it's been moving this quickly, and that's a big testament to our colleagues in the General Services Department who have been fantastic about securing the grant, and then secondly about actually getting the grant moving. So I just wanted to add that as kind of a shout out to our colleagues over there. So we do, but this one is actually fun because you know, the city planning really only affects kind of the outside or a new building envelope, but to get all the facilities infrastructure inside, most of that is through our General Services Department because they have to deal with all the electrical work, HVAC, all that. And so as much as we celebrated the building last year for its 50th anniversary, not a lot's been done in 50 years, so it's timely, and it's actually going to end up being a much more usable and much more energy efficient building when all is said and done, and more importantly, much more accessible to all of our community. So we're really excited about it.
That's great. Are there any other questions or comments about the director's report?
Thank you very much.
All righty. We are going to move on to item C1. It is time for us to select a new chair and vice chair for this commission.
Chair Goodman, for this item, I'm going to pass it off to Blake Markham of the clerk's office. He'll explain the ins and outs. And just as because we don't have a full commission tonight, it'll be up to you if you'd like to continue with chair, vice chair, or to move it to another meeting.
Okay.
Why don't we turn it over to Mr. Markham and find out what we need to find out.
All right. Blake Markham, public records specialist. Good evening, chair and commissioners. I am here today to give you an opportunity to select the chair and vice chair for a one-year term. As Janet mentioned, this is up to you since we only have three commissioners here today. If you'd like to wait for another meeting where more commissioners might be in attendance, we can do it then. But just so that you know the process, if we do decide to go forward with this tonight, then I'll be asking for nominations for a chair and then our vice chair. And for that motion, no second is required. And then we'll go ahead and vote on the motion, okay? So first of all, I leave it up to you if you'd like to do this tonight or if you'd like to continue it to another meeting.
Well, I've been serving as chair for well over 2 years. So I think it is healthy and good to relinquish the chair role, and I would like to start by nominating Commissioner Callahan to the chair role.
Okay. Commissioner Callahan, do you accept this nomination?
Yeah, I think I just would maybe, I mean, I'd maybe get a little conversation of what's required, but yeah, I would be happy to do so.
Okay, great.
No fear there.
So we have a nomination on the floor for Commissioner Callahan for the position of chair. Are there any other nominations?
I was going to jokingly nominate back to her, but I'm go ahead. Sorry.
In the absence of any other members present, I'll nominate myself for vice chair.
Okay.
Oh, I like that.
Thank you.
Very good. We'll go ahead then and move forward with the vote for chair first. So the nomination again is for Commissioner Callahan.
Did we want to just clarify the question he had before they vote on the roles?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just a question about what it entails.
Responsibilities.
Yeah. So for the most part, it's just really helping to run the meeting. We do provide some notes as to the order of operations of the agenda. But essentially, you rely on the staff to come back with whatever materials you need.
Okay.
There's no additional homework as a chair, but it's really just to help facilitate the meeting from the dais.
Excellent.
Thank you. Big shoes. And in the words to the pledge.
I got that.
Yeah. Oh, and the attendance as well.
That's right.
And then secondly, the vice chair helps to serve in that role in case the chair is absent. But generally, it's. We want to make sure we do have a quorum for the meeting, so that's a very important part of it for all commissioners.
Thank you. I'm just aware of the big shoes that would have to be filled, so that's why I was make sure I can keep it going.
And actually, lest we forget, you also have before you today your boards and commissions handbook, and that has helpful information in there as well about the role of the chair and vice chair. So
great.
Something for you to review after today's meeting. With that, I think we can go ahead and move forward then with a vote for Commissioner Callahan as chair.
Chair Goodman?
Yes.
Commissioner Callahan?
I thought I have to abstain. Yes, I.
Commissioner Caldy?
Yes.
And then congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
We'll move on now to our vice chair, and we already had a nomination for Commissioner Caldy, so if you can lead us in a roll call vote.
Chair Callahan?
Yes.
Commissioner Goodman?
Yes.
Commissioner Caldy?
Yes.
Okay, congratulations, everybody. I think with that, we're going to take a break, right?
We're going to take a quick break and switch some seats.
Oh, wow.
You get the chair.
Wow.
You got to take a picture.
Is there a coronation? You know.
Well, I did post it on my socials. When do we need to change, or did just the...
C2, and over to you, Janet.
C2 is the non-black gold cooperative library system material delivery and return policy and procedures.
Great.
Thank you. So the purpose of this item is to basically address an area of our practices where we were in need of a little bit of structure. So as a public library in an area that has many wonderful public libraries and school libraries, we sometimes have materials that are not owned by the Black Gold Cooperative Library System returned to us through our book drops, we have come up with an internal practice to account for what next steps would be most appropriate. And this item aims to basically provide a framework for how we should best account for the materials returned to our library that are not owned by our library or another Black Gold library. And so as you'll see, this item lays out some very clear steps with regards to best practices, which would basically involve our staff who are responsible for these particular areas to basically document the date that this item was received at the library, to reach out to the library who owns the item to let them know that one of their materials was returned to our library as a courtesy. In the best case, we're able to coordinate a return of the item. Many of our patrons are wonderful library patrons of many libraries, so they use their school library, they use Goleta Library, they may use Carpinteria Library, and so many times all it takes is a simple phone call. We're able to get the material back home. And then this also accounts for a time frame as well. So right now we've been retaining materials sort of on an undefined timeline. And so this policy and procedure also aims to provide structure with regards to how long materials should be kept at the library. And then after 60 days, we'll make a determination for next steps.
So this was a portion of the adjustments to the agenda where we mentioned there was a clarification on language in the last line of this attachment. So the original had stated basically disposition, but this is a little softer and says the materials will be held for 60 days, at which point a determination will be made. We didn't want to necessarily say we're going to be destroying books, but we want to make sure we exhaust every opportunity to get them back. But we also don't want to end up becoming just kind of a dumping ground for materials that aren't us, and then we run out of space to keep them or preserve them or to actually get them out to folks.
Cool. All right, it's very clear to me. Open it up to the other commissioners. Any thoughts, questions?
I have a question. I'm looking at the second paragraph, and I know that this is a policy about what happens when our library receives books that are not ours, but clearly it happens in the other direction as well, and that the patron is responsible for fines incurred. But we have removed the overdue, the late fees. So I'm curious how patrons are notified if they think, if their books are not returned and they think their books have been returned, what that process looks like
Thank you. That's a fantastic question. I'm happy to speak to that. So when our patrons borrow materials, they do so through a software system implemented throughout all the Black Gold libraries. And part of that software system has the capability to send out notifications. Patrons have the option to select the format in which they'd like to be notified, whether email, text, or phone call. And so throughout the borrowing process for library materials, patrons receive notices at a defined frequency. So there's courtesy notices sent out when items are coming due 2 days prior to a due date. And so if a patron were to return an item and then receive a notice that the item was coming due soon, that might be sort of the first instance where they would realize that perhaps the item hadn't been returned as intended. And then following that, there are subsequent notices, such as overdue notices, that are sent out on increments based on the format of notification. So emails go out at a certain tempo, texts go out at a certain tempo. So we try to make sure that patrons are aware of what the status of their items is from the library side.
And would it then be that patron's responsibility to go to the place that they mistakenly returned the item, pick it up, and bring it back?
We have often found that to be successful, that families with children at school may have mistakenly returned a stack of library books to their school library, and one of the Goleta Library picture books snuck in there. And so sometimes it just takes a reach out to the other libraries that they visit to see if maybe their library has a similar process in place, maybe a shelf or another holding area where they can check to see if an item was misreturned. And usually that's a sufficient way to sort of get the materials back home.
Thank you.
Question your way.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm curious what happens after 60 days. What kinds of determinations might the library make?
That's a great question. So with materials, each situation is a little bit different, which is one of the reasons why we wanted to use the language with regards to a determination. So we have had some instances occur where we've notified a library that their item was returned by mistake, and they've opted to consider it a donation to our collection, or they look in their system and the item was already withdrawn. And so if we were not able to connect with the library, we may look into possibly, adding it to our collection, to treating it as a donation and following our channels that go through the Friends of the Library or that go through a partnership we have set up with an organization called Better World Books. So we do try to explore every avenue if we're not able to reunite it with its home library or make contact with the owning library. So each situation is a little bit different. So we're looking forward to having that ability to make a determination on a case-by-case basis.
Thank you. Follow-up question. Somebody mentioned something about destroying books in the past. Is that can you speak to that? Is that something that has happened or
so
would happen?
One of the things we had seen is different policies where they'll say disposition. I wouldn't say necessarily destruction, but the disposition, meaning they'll get rid of it. So someone could say, did they throw it away? Did they give it away? Did they just removed it somehow? And so it sounded kind of cold to say disposition, and instead we try to find a better way of making sure we check multiple sources to see if we could get it home. So the libraries aren't in a big position to be wanting to destroy books. It just sounds a little much.
Quick one on that one. Do we have programs in place with, like, I know the YMCA does a book drive. In that case, would that be a candidate? Is that something we could do, or does that run up against any sort of regulations?
So in general, we have our own avenues for, Better With Books. Is that what it's called? Yeah, Better World Books. So we already have channels and distributions that we can use for that. I guess it wouldn't be necessarily it being precluded, but we try to ship things together in batches so that we get a better rate for the library. We don't want it to cost us more money to get it out and then have it be something that's less resources for the library going forward. But generally, book drives like that are intended to look for donations from private individuals who are looking to make room in their homes and maybe buy newer books, and this is another avenue for them to do it. So in our cases, we'd rather use the channels that we have set up because, as you might guess, it's different to get rid of or, you know, move three books on than it is to move 300 books.
Yeah, makes sense. Great. Any additional questions? Great conversation. Thank you. At this time, we'll open it up to the public for any questions or comments.
There are no members of the public at this point in time, Chair.
All right. At that point, I will then seek a motion to accept C2.
If we could be specific to accept the amended C2 attachment, non-Black Gold Cooperative Library System materials delivery and return policy and procedure.
Okay, yeah. Seek a motion to accept C2, the non-Black Gold Cooperative Library System material delivery and return policy procedure.
I move to accept the amended non-Black Gold Cooperative Library System material delivery and return policy and procedure.
And a second? I can second? Oh, I didn't. I thought the chair couldn't. I second. My apologies.
Sorry, I thought Commissioner made the motion. Was that not? Were you not making the motion?
I moved it. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm seeking a second. I'm not allowed to make the second.
You can.
I am. I apologize. Then I second. That's fine.
Oh, just Mike. But okay. So to be clear, Commissioner Goodman has made the motion. Chair Callanan has made the second, and we are now doing a vote. Chair Callanan?
Aye.
Chair Goodman?
Aye.
Excuse me.
Commissioner
Goodman? Pardon. Vice Chair Caldy?
Aye.
And if I may ask you to lock in your votes. Yay.
It worked.
There we go.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So we move to C3. Janet?
C3, policy and procedure for adult volunteers.
Thank you. For item C3, the goal of this item is to add additional content to our application for adult volunteers. The adult volunteers, as well as teen volunteers at the library, contribute and assist with a number of our operations on a day-to-day basis. We have a fantastic team of volunteers in place, and we receive many requests and interest from the community in opportunities to volunteer. And so the intended, aim of this item is to account for the community that is served by the library. It's to just account to the possibility that our adult volunteers may interact with minors. They may interact with vulnerable populations. As the library is a space for everyone, we just want to make sure that our application accounts for that piece of involvement that they may have. And so to do so, the recommendation of this item is to add a line to the volunteer program application, which is indicated in red in the packet. This is the City of Goleta's volunteer program application that adults complete. And so the recommendation for this item is to add a line that's in red that says, I understand that I will be required to take a live scan, which will be paid by the library. And so basically what this does is it incorporates this element into the application process for our adult volunteers who are applying specifically for a program where they'll be working with minors. This is usually a piece of the process that we, address later in the application conversation. So what this recommendation does is to include it at the time of application for all of our adult volunteers, just to make sure that our policies are designed to account for the minors and vulnerable populations they may interact with.
Great, thank you. Open it up for any comments or questions from the commission?
I'll say I think it's a good idea. As someone who works with children, I am curious, and maybe that we need to table this for a future. So you can correct me if need be, but I'm curious if you also do any training of volunteers who work with children around mandated reporting and around any of the resources in the community, given that they may be working with vulnerable populations, how you educate volunteers about all the resources for vulnerable populations. And if that's not appropriate for now, perhaps we can put that into future agenda.
We can certainly note that. This came at the recommendation of our insurance, our Joint Powers Authority insurance that oversees risk for the city, and part of this was one of their recommendations. But we can certainly follow up on that specific question, but that's a really good one to make sure we abide by.
Yeah, I agree that this is a good practice. My understanding is a live scan is a background check, correct? I'm curious what you can say about the entity performing the background check.
So the live scan check is actually done through the California Department of Justice. The results actually go to our sheriff's office, and they're shared with us confidentially. We try to maintain a strict privacy on those records, so they don't just kind of float around. We have them essentially under lock and key, but there's a direct pipeline from the California Department of Justice to our sheriff's office and then to our HR department. So it's not a third party, you know, outsourced kind of program.
Great. At this time, any questions from the public?
If there are any, sorry, Chair, there are no members of the public.
All right, let's see if we get this smoother this time. I'd like to seek a motion to accept the changes to the policy and procedure for adult volunteers.
I second that motion.
All right.
Chair Callahan?
Aye.
Commissioner Goodman?
Aye.
Commissioner Caldy?
Aye.
I think there's one more part where you lock in your votes for the
yep.
We're waiting.
Electronic.
Apologies.
Right. Pulling it up. There's a lot of buttons up here to push, you know what I mean?
Thank you for locking in your votes.
All right. With that, we'll move on to C4.
C4, policy and procedure. Age for being alone at the library.
Back to you, Ms. Acedo.
Thank you, Chair. So agenda item C4 was developed to lay the groundwork for further review of our policies as they relate to children and minors being permitted to be at the library independently without the supervision of either an older child or an accompanying adult. We've identified that there are some areas where we could establish consistency across policies. Presently, we have a rules of conduct policy for our patrons as well as an unattended children's policy. And so there's sort of two separate policies that we feel have areas where the language could be updated to more closely align with current practices. As well as there is an instance of a discrepancy between ages in two of them. And so we identified an opportunity to spend some time with further review with input from staff and just to make sure that our policies are comprehensive, accurate, up to date, and really to ensure the safety of all of our patrons, particularly those who will visit the library unattended or unaccompanied by an older child or an adult. And so the purpose of this item is to make a recommendation to further refresh those policies, which will likely be an item at a future commission meeting. And so that is that's the summary of what we hope to accomplish with this item in the future moving forward.
Excellent. Any questions from the commission? All right, hearing none, to questions open to the public?
There's no public comment, Chair.
All right, with that, I will seek a motion to accept the further refresh of the policy and procedure, age for being alone at the library.
So moved.
All right, with that, we can move on to C5.
Lock the vote.
Come on, Chair.
Sorry, Chair. So, Chair Callanan?
Aye.
Chair Goodman?
Aye.
Excuse me, Commissioner Goodman? And Vice Chair Caldy?
Aye.
Thank you.
Off to a dubious start.
You're doing great.
All right. Now we can finally move to C5.
C5, Statement of Concern for Materials, Policy, and Procedure.
Thank you. Agenda item C5 was included in this evening's meeting to create consistency with an update that was recently made at a previous commission meeting to our display policy at the library. And so, essentially, it's a replacement of a request for reconsideration form with a statement of concern form. And so, similar to the display policy change, this update would apply directly to the collection development policy at the library. This policy provides guidelines in accordance with American Library Association recommendations for best practices and guidelines as they relate to managing a collection at the library, which encompasses all of the different materials, ranging from DVDs to board books to biographies and everything in between. And so the aim for this agenda item is to make a recommendation to replace the current request for reconsideration form with our newer version, statement of concern, for many of the same reasons that we presented the update for the display statement of concern with regards to verbiage for reconsideration versus a statement of concern to more closely reflect the policy that's in place when a community member presents a concern with regards to an item in the collection. So we feel that this form more accurately and closely represents the process itself that's in place, where the concern, you know, is welcome to be expressed and received and reviewed in a process that is fair and transparent, with the city librarian, you know, assessing the concern, and if the concern was not able to be resolved, then bringing that concern to this commission for further discussion and recommendation. And that's our summary of agenda item. I welcome any questions or comments that you may have.
Yeah, and I would just add to this item is, I know it might seem something that was touched upon probably less than a year ago, but you know, things are changing in the library world, and we want to make sure we use the appropriate wording and language, and not to communicate something that, you know, the word reconsideration kind of makes it sound like you will reconsider and you will take it down or remove it. And a statement of concern is more accurate in the sense that anybody can have an opinion and state that and have a concern. But it's just more the wordage that's being used, and many of our libraries are now being tested on different topics. And so this is the wordage that we've found to be much more appropriate and fitting for what tends to happen in our library.
I'm curious how many statements of concern or reconsideration you've received in the last, say, 6 months or so, and if we track that.
We do keep records. We have not received any completed forms during my time at the library. This question came up during an all-staff meeting in 2023 before the retirement of our previous library director, Allison Gray, and someone asked the same question of how many of these requests have we received at Goleta Valley Library. And in her her time as supervising librarian, which I believe spanned 13 years, She said she had only received one, and the concern to the content was based on outdated material that was in the collection. And so that is certainly something we want to be aware of, that concerns can arise because content is obsolete or it's outdated. And so there has just been one, to my knowledge, I would estimate within the last 15 to 17 years at least.
And then just building on that, we are part of the Black Gold Cooperative. And so we do share information with other neighboring branches, right, other communities. And thankfully, there haven't been that many. But there is a sense that what tends to happen is there may be a wave of activity that happens in one or two and then quickly spreads, you know, up and down the state. So we just want to be prepared for that. We obviously welcome anyone's opinions, but when it's a concerted effort and there's usually like a list of books, it's things that you might see on social media that get posted and reposted. We want to make sure we have an appropriate process to deal with that. And it's easier if you have a written policy that you can provide to someone. And hopefully that can usually temper, any concerns that are there. If there are some, then they're more than welcome to be submitted as well.
Yeah, I just want to add, I think your earliest point about moving from reconsideration to concern is spot on. I mean, it sounds like this is an action that will result in it coming down versus a statement of concern. So I think, in defense and in the support of the staff, I think that's the right call to make. So excellent work.
I'm curious when and where patrons would be made aware that they have the ability to make a statement of concern. Would they first have to talk to a library staff and then the library staff would direct them to this policy, or is there some place in the library where this power is communicated to patrons?
That's a great question. And so there are a variety of ways that a patron may become aware of this form. On the library website, we do have a page that includes a link to the form itself, which is available as a PDF. As well as a link to the collection development policy. And within that collection development policy, there's currently reference to the request for reconsideration form, but that language would be updated to reflect the statement of concern. So there are two places on the website where it would be made available, but it may also, arise out of a conversation with staff, that if a patron were to have a concern and approach any number of our staff to express that concern, then this would be the next step, would be to make sure that they were aware of the formal process for stating that concern.
And all of our policies are available at the circulation desk, so we're not trying to hide anything at all. It's just a matter of we can't display everything, every form, everything, without, sacrificing space in a pretty tight library as it is. But we absolutely welcome, and that's part of a vibrant library, is that interaction with our staff and with our patrons.
Excellent. Any other additional questions, comments? All right, we will pass it to the public if there are any comments or questions.
No public comment at this time, Chair.
All right, we'll seek a motion to accept the update to Statement of Concern for Material Policy and Procedure.
So moved.
I will second.
Chair Callanan?
Aye.
Commissioner Goodman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Caldy?
Aye.
And if you could lock in your votes. Thank you.
All right, so future agenda items, pass it your way. Oh.
Thank you. The agenda item that we will be planning to bring to a future commission is with regards to the agenda item C4 with regards to the age for being alone in the library, since we've identified a need to refresh specific language and areas of our existing policies. We anticipate bringing a refreshed policy to the commission's for the commission's review and recommendation at a future meeting.
And then we'd also have the regular director's report, which we try to do a kind of an all-encompassing, you know, slice of time, right? So that you can see what's going on actively at the library, and then if there's any events that are coming up of interest, we try to do the same format as our Parks and Rec Commission, where we usually try to give a heads up to folks so that they can start anticipating that, get the word out. And then lastly, I believe Diane Satchwell will still be working on the strategic plan. So if we have any developments between now and then, we'll certainly make sure to include those in the next packet as well.
Excellent. Well, I think I see nothing else. Seek a motion for adjournment, unless there's anything else that I'm missing. Oh, I don't. We will just adjourn this meeting then. Thanks everyone for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow.